Don't store up your treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Whatever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. And the second part is verse 25. He talks about one of those things that we all think about, and that's worry. Worry. Man, was I worried this morning. What's it going to be like? So this is what he says. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your troubles add a single moment to your life? Worry is more harmful. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
You may be seated. So good morning once again. Welcome to Living Water Church. We're continuing our series that we started last week on courageous living, biblical promises for defeating our fears. And during the series, we're looking at five incredible stories from the Old Testament and looking at five promises that God gives us to overcome some of the challenges that come into our life. That if we believe these promises, if we will embrace them, if we will live them out, if we'll take them onto ourselves, God will begin to give us the courage that we need to be able to defeat whatever that life throws at us. And so if you haven't yet, go ahead and grab those message notes and grab something and take a pen so you can take some notes along the way. It just helps me stay connected. Some of you, maybe notes don't help at all, but if you'd like to do that. And before we get started, I just want to talk a little bit about last Sunday. God was kind of sharing some things during worship time that I should say. And so revival. Break out of the Holy Spirit. What we had last week was a breakout of the Holy Spirit, which is so rare. It just is. And there is something about hosting the power of the Holy Spirit and encouraging that kind of thing to happen. And there's things that we can do that can hamper it, that can put it out. And so I just wanted to stewarding the power of the Holy Spirit when it comes to a congregation. Some of the things that can kind of hamper it is the words like, no, I'm not doing that. God, I'm not doing that. I hear what you're saying, but nope, I'm not doing that. Man, that puts out the fire faster than anything else. Another thing is a complaining spirit. Not that we'd ever have that problem, but it kind of can come up, and that can put out the power of the Holy Spirit. Another thing can do it is like, we've never done it that way before. What's Pastor Todd doing? Sometimes the Holy Spirit might have me do something crazy, which I hope he doesn't, because I hate doing crazy things. But, sometimes he does. He takes us off what we normally do and just going with the flow, coming with expectation. And then what encourages this? A flame has come apart, come upon us. The Holy Spirit has just done this unique thing. And it might have been just for a one Sunday thing, but it might be for a season. And prayer is what causes that to spread. It causes it to grow. When we start to pray, when we start coming on Sunday expecting, God's going to be here. God's going to do some cool stuff. I don't want to miss this Sunday because God's just going to do some things and we got to be here. That kind of expectation and coming in a spirit of prayer really will encourage that to happen. And so my hope is that it continues and it flames and it spreads and we all play a part in that happening. And so just wanted to kind of put that out there. That was in my sermon, so that's for free. Just kind of take it as it is. But we're going to be looking at the Old Testament book of Ruth today. And it tells the story of a young woman named Ruth who's at a very difficult time in her life. Her husband has unexpectedly passed away at a young age. And in ancient times, women didn't have the same opportunities as you do today. And so Ruth is really in a very difficult situation where she doesn't know how is she going to provide for herself. How is she going to provide her income? It just would have been very scary for her. But the story of Ruth turns into an unexpected love story. A reminder how God will provide for all of our needs if we'll trust him. And I think we all love a good love story, right? And so before we jump into the story of Ruth, let's just kind of consider a challenge that we have today when it comes to the idea of marriage and finding that person that you want to spend the rest of your life with. Because today it's more difficult than ever. In fact, it's taken Americans longer to find Mr. and Mrs. Right than ever before. We're getting married later in life, and it's just causing some stress and some anxiety that hasn't really been there before. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 1980, the average age when Americans got married was 23. And that's been that average age for over a century. But by 2010, that age had gone up to 28 years old was the average age. And today, the average age is somewhere between 31 and 32 years old. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with waiting to get married, but the challenge is that there are more single people in the world ever before, and that is creating some struggles, which is kind of interesting because you think it wouldn't, that there's more single people. But psychologists have say that there's this stigma of singleness that has gotten bigger and bigger in our society. And what I mean by this is that the pressure that so many people feel that I've got to find that right person. And that pressure comes from family, it comes from friends, it comes from ourselves. If we don't find that someone special, that life partner, that we're somehow not enough, that we're somehow not complete, that there's something missing in our life. Or maybe that's not a pressure that you've ever felt before, but maybe you're dealing with different kinds of pressure in your life. Maybe the pressure you feel is, I'm just not successful enough in my career right now. What happens if I don't meet certain expectations at my job? I begin letting others down. I life becomes less secure. You know, what happens if I'm a failure here? What happens if I lose my job? Or maybe it's this idea that I don't have enough money. My bank account is way less than I thought it was. When I don't feel like I'm secure at all, and it's causing me to stress out because I feel like I don't have enough. It's this fear. Is this primal human fear of coming up short, of not having enough, of not being enough. And in the end, the underlying fear is that God isn't enough. That's just a huge fear some people feel when they're especially in the middle of a challenging situation, that God is not going to be able, he's just not going to provide for what I need. So back to our story of Ruth, when our story starts out, she's married. She's got a really great, secure life. She's living with her husband, and she and her husband are living with her husband's parents and with her brother-in-law and her brother-in-law's wife, and they have a big, strong, secure family. But tragically, Ruth's father-in-law dies. And soon after that, her husband dies and her brother-in-law dies. And in those days, that would have just been some big implications for Ruth. Like I said, women just didn't have many options, and so she would have been very vulnerable, financially insecure, and she just would have been dealing with some fear. And in the culture of that time, it would have been expected that she would have left her mother-in-law, gone back to her home, to her parents, or to a family member that would have taken care of her. But Ruth makes a courageous decision. She decides she's not going to abandon her mother-in-law, Naomi, who would have just been all on her own. Even if it meant poverty, she decides to follow her and take care of her. And if you look at our first verse, this is what Ruth says to her mother-in-law, Naomi, who, when she lost her husband and father-in-law, she said, "Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you live, I will live. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God." Now, what's kind of funny to me is that this is kind of a favorite verse for weddings, but it doesn't really make a lot of sense to me because Ruth is actually saying this to her mother-in-law. It's not a husband and wife situation, but we read this at weddings, and there's nothing really wrong with that. And, you know, we want to say, you know, our spouse, wherever they go, we're going to be there together, and that's great. But it's fine, but that's not fine. What's not fine is the idea that if I don't have someone, I'm incomplete. If I don't have someone, then I'm not enough. That I need something, or I need someone else to be who God created me to be. That's a mindset that is set in fear. That's why so many people will pursue relationship after relationship, sometimes even unhealthy ones, to find that right person. That's why so many people will sacrifice everything for their career because they're afraid that they won't be enough if they somehow don't find success in their career. Or it's why some people, they become so stingy that they're always scrounging for money because they have this fear that there won't be enough. I'm not enough. There's not enough. God's not enough. It's this fear of coming up short that's a part of the human condition. But here's the catch. You'll never be able to get enough of something that you're afraid is going to run out. I want you to think about that for a moment. You're never going to be able to get enough of something that you feel insecure about. You're never going to be able to get enough of something you're afraid that's just not going to be there when you need it. If you're afraid that it won't be there. So if there's one thing I want you to take away from today's sermon, it's today's promise. And every week during this series, we're going to look at a promise from God that if you'll embrace, if you'll believe with your heart, it'll give you some courage as you're dealing with some challenging situations. And this is the promise for today. It's a simple three words. It is that God is enough. I want you to write that in. Today's promise, God is enough. No matter where you are in your life, no matter what you're going through, whatever you're lacking, understand that God is enough. Do you write those three words down? And then once you do, I want you to turn just to the person next to you and tell them, for you, God will be enough for you. God will be enough. Just kind of tell it. You got to know this, all right? So I see some people, I ain't going to say that. No, you can't make me. All right, God is enough. We got to know that. We got to know that God is enough. We got to have it down deep in our souls so that when we come up to a situation where we're tempted to believe he's not, that we can lean on that truth. Now, don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong with wanting to find that someone special. There's nothing wrong wanting to be successful or wanting to have money. The problem is when the desires are driven by fear instead of by God. Fear that you're not enough. Fear that you won't be enough, that you won't have enough. Because that fear is not what God wants for you. So today I want you to know that God truly is enough. It will always be enough for you. And if you put your trust in him, he'll provide for you for all your needs. He'll meet every one of them. Joshua 23:14 says this, deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. Yeah, I want you to underline that phrase. Every promise of the Lord has come true. Now, this has got to be a conviction of ours that every promise God makes will come true for us. You can trust God. He'll always be enough for you. And so today I want to just kind of show us four ways that we can experience God's provisions in our life when you feel like you don't have enough or when you feel like you are not enough, because God will always be enough. How do I experience God's provision in my life? Here's the first way. Write this in. Remember. It's kind of the foundational first step for just about anything spiritual. Remember God's provision in my past. Remember. Now, maybe as I'm talking, you're thinking to yourself, you know, how can I trust that God is enough when I don't feel like I have enough right now? When I feel like I don't have enough money to pay my bills, I don't have enough friends, I don't have enough success, I don't have the right job in my life, how can I trust that God is enough when I feel like I don't have enough right now? And this is how Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi, they must have felt that way. Keep in mind, they'd lost everything. They're going back to Israel with nothing but basically the clothes they have. They'd lost it all. Going to Ruth chapter 1, verse 3, it says, then Elimelech, this was Naomi's husband, this is Ruth's father-in-law, then Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons, but then about 10 years later, both Mahlon and Chilion died. This left Naomi alone without her two sons or her husband. And that would have just been devastating to anyone, but especially in ancient times. It would have been just really scary situation. So how do you trust God in times like this, when you've completely lost your safety net? When you feel like you're all alone, when it feels like you don't have all that you need, well, the first thing you got to do is remember in times in the past when you were afraid and you didn't have enough, but you but God provided. When God met your needs, maybe some unexpected ways, and you're here and you made it through, you remember God's provision. You know, the interesting thing about circumstances is that they're always temporary. But sometimes when you're in the middle of a challenging circumstance, a storm in life, when you're in the middle of it, it's hard to know this is going to be gone someday. And so I want you to take a moment and remember a time in your past when it felt like you didn't have enough, but God provided for you. When you were afraid you wouldn't have enough or that you weren't enough and God ended up coming through. Do you have a memory like that that's just kind of coming up? In our story, Naomi and Ruth were hurting, and they were scared, but they hadn't given up on God. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, we find a very honest expression of Naomi's emotion. She said this, "Don't call me Naomi," she responded. "Instead, call me Mara, for the Almighty has made my life very bitter for me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty." Naomi, she's struggling with her loss. She's probably got some bitterness and some anger and some fear, and it's only natural to be afraid when you feel like you've lost everything. You see this in the book of Psalms too. It's okay to express your anger with God when you're going through a difficult time, but the point is that you can't stay there. You can't get stuck in bitterness or in anger in these situations. So yes, Naomi was upset, but even in her pain, she remembers who God is. Go back up to that verse that I just read, and I want you to underline those two words, the Almighty. That's what she calls God in this verse. She uses the word Almighty, and the name she uses to call God the Almighty in Hebrew is the word El Shaddai. She says El Shaddai, and El Shaddai literally means God is in control. And I don't think that was an accident. In the midst of all her loss, in the midst of her life feeling like it's completely out of control, she says, "You are El Shaddai. You are the one who is in control. My life, it's out of control. I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, but you're the one who's in control. I've seen it in my past, and I believe it now." Maybe this is something you just needed to hear today, that God is in control no matter how life feels right now. He's in control. He's in control of your finances. No matter how broken your family feels, he's in control of your family. He's in control of your relationships. He's in control of your health. El Shaddai, the one who is in control. Remember how God provided for you in the past. And now, and know even though it might be hard to see right now, because you're in the middle of the storm, he's going to provide for you again. He's going to see you through. He is in control. And so I remember a time when my kids were young. I was between ministry positions. I decided to switch to teaching music lessons to working with computers. And I'd been promised this job, but the job ended up being, you know, it just kind of fell through at the last minute, and I'd been working for a church part-time, but that church had decided that they wanted to go in a different direction, and I found myself with no income coming in. And every position that I applied for just turned up as a no, as a shut door, every direction I went to. And so I had no income coming in, and as I went to all these interviews and these opportunities I thought God would open up, I was either overqualified because I had these degrees, or I was didn't have enough experience, and it just seemed like God kept shutting the door after a door after door, and it just became more and more difficult, and food became scarce, and as the cupboards were getting empty, someone from my former church where I had been working somehow found out that we were struggling and got the church together and did this big food pounding. One day, we were out as a family doing something, and came back home, and there was all this food outside our door. And I remember feeling a range of emotions seeing all that food. First, I felt deeply grateful for God's provision, but I also struggled a bit because I was used to being the one giving to someone in need. I was not used to being in that position where someone needed to help me. In fact, I had never been in that position. And to be honest, I really felt in that moment like I was a failure. It was supposed to be my job to provide. God was teaching me two things here. First, when I felt like I wasn't enough, when I felt like I didn't have enough, God was teaching me that he was enough. And then second, that I needed to be humble enough when I wasn't enough so that God could use others to bless me. And when we go through those times, and we all do, when we feel like the world is just out of control and we don't have enough, it's important to remember that I can trust him because he came through for me in the past and he'll come through for me again today. So remember when God came through you. If you want to experience his provisions now, that's the first step, and here's the second. Second way to experience God's provision is to repent. Repent of my self-sufficiency. Repent of my self-sufficiency. This is what I had to do. I needed to repent of the need to be the main provider in my family because that was really God's role. Our tendency when we feel like we don't have enough is just to bear down. I'm just going to work harder. If I don't have enough, I'm just going to try harder. I'm going to do more. So I didn't have a job, so I sent every job I could find in the newspaper a resume, and I called everybody that I knew. I was desperate, but I was desperate for the wrong thing. What I was desperate for was filling this job myself instead of being desperate for seeking God's will, finding God's next step for me. I was focused on the wrong thing. Fear had me focused on what I could do rather than focused on my faith in what God could do. And I needed to remember today's promise. Today's promise isn't that you are enough. Today's promise isn't that if you just work a little harder, if you'll try a little more, you're going to be enough. No, today's promise is that God is enough. In fact, would you just say those words with me, God is enough, together? Let's just say that. Ready? God is enough. You know, I think some of you believe it, but I don't think others. You know, let's just say it like we mean it. Ready? God is enough. God is enough for us, even when it seems like it's not. That's today's promise. God is enough to meet all your needs. So the key here is to stop trying to rely on your own strength and your own intelligence and start relying on him. So back to our story. Ruth became a widow, and she found herself alone. She's scared. She's uncertain. But, and listen, fear was never God's plan for her life. And being alone wasn't God's plan for her either. Not only did God give her Naomi, and they were able to do life together, but God eventually brought a young man into Ruth's life named Boaz. After Naomi and Ruth returned back to Israel, look at what happens. Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 19, says, "So Ruth told her mother-in-law about the man in whose field she had worked. She said, 'The man I worked with today is named Boaz. May the Lord bless him,' Naomi told her daughter-in-law. 'He is showing his kindness to us as well as to your dead husband. That man is one of our closest relatives, one of our family redeemers.'" Would you underline those two words, family redeemers? A redeemer was a person in Naomi's culture who was believed to have been sent by God to help someone in a difficult time. They had the responsibility to act on behalf of a relative who's in trouble or in danger or in need. And so have you ever experienced a redeemer in your life? Maybe you're going through this difficult time and God sent someone to listen to you, to encourage you, to support you, to help you. That's what Boaz was for them. God sent a redeemer into their life. God used Boaz to remind Naomi and Ruth that they weren't all alone, that God was going to provide for them when they needed his help. You know, the problem with self-sufficiency is that it's all up to you. And so if it's all up to you, then you've got to control every little detail. You've got to control everything that's going on in your life because you're self-sufficient. And if that's your mindset, then life becomes overwhelming. And it leaves you feeling coming up short and empty many times. And maybe that's you today. Maybe you're thinking, if I've just got to look out for number one, because if I don't look out for myself, if I don't handle this myself, then no one else is going to do it. And because of that attitude, it makes you exhausted. But I want you to see that's the wrong way to think, because God will provide for you if you surrender your self-sufficiency and you put your trust in him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says this: "Don't love money Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Underline that last phrase, I will never abandon you. And maybe these words are the words you needed to hear today, that God will never abandon you. No matter how bad it feels right now in your circumstances, God will never leave you. No matter what is lacking in your life right now, He will always be enough for you. So to experience God's provision in your life, whatever it is you need, remember His provision in your past, repent of your self-sufficiency. Then here's the third way, experience God's provision, and that is to begin to rely on God's help. You let go of doing it yourself, and you begin to rely on God's help. One of the things I tell couples that are getting married is to always make sure that God is the center part of their marriage, because relationships are never easy. They're often messy. But if you rely on God, He's going to help you in your relationship, and He's going to bless your relationship. And I think that advice works not just in relationships, but really in any area of your life. If you rely on God for His help within your career, He will bless your career. If you rely on God's help for your finances, He'll bless your finances. If you rely on God's help for raising your kids, He will bless those efforts. He will bless those relationships. You rely on God, bringing Him into those areas and relying on Him, it also brings His blessing on those areas. If you rely on God for His help in these things, you'll find that you can trust Him in these areas. And there's an interesting passage in Ruth chapter 2, beginning in verse 11. This is what Boaz says about Ruth. He says, "But I also know about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother in your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you have done." Underline that phrase. Under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Maybe you're in a place where you're just dealing with some fear. Whatever it might be. Afraid that there's not going to be enough of something. Not going to be enough money. The job is not going to work out. That your health is never going to get better. That there's not going to be someone for you. But I'm telling you, like Ruth, you can take refuge under God's wings, because He cares about every aspect of your life. He cares about it all. In fact, look at the words of Jesus from the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. It says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food, and your body more than clothing?" You know, these are the same fears that we often have today. Then he continues, "Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you far more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life?" Can your worries add even a tiny bit to your life? Can your fear in any way make your life better? That's a crazy thing. We get stuck in these thought patterns, and they don't do anything other than wrap us up in our problems. So easy to get fixated on an area in your life that you're not happy with, an area that's not going well. And you begin to think about it until it just eats you up inside. I mean, that's what worry does. Worry will eat you up from the inside out. It'll make you into a miserable person. That's what worry does. Jesus says, listen, your worry isn't going to fix any of these things. Your worry is just going to make you unhappy, unhealthy, and unlikable. And that's not what God wants for you. He wants us to trust Him. He wants you to know right now that you are truly valuable to Him and that He will care for you. So instead of worry, learn to rely. Rely on God's help. Right now, I want you to think about an area of your life where you're dealing with some fear. Or maybe you have some worry. Maybe it's even keeping you up at night right now. And if you have that in your life right now, I imagine you've been thinking about it this whole sermon. Just kind of been there. You've probably been, it's just kind of part of what you're dealing with in your life. So I want you to think about that and something in your life that you have some fear and worry. And maybe it's because it's an area of your life that you're relying on yourself instead of on God. Would you just take a moment and get out your connection card And then on the back of that, the next steps. The second next step on this card says, trust God is enough to meet my needs in this area. And then it gives you a place to put what it is. You know, if you will take a moment and fill that out, I want to pray for you about whatever that is. And you can kind of, you don't have to be specific. You can be really general, you know. That's totally up to you. God knows what's going on in your life. But I will pray for you. If you fill that out and put it into the offering plate of something in your life that is just eating you up. Could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be, you know, all kinds of things that's just causing you to think about it all the time. It's just always there. It's just got this pit in your heart and your stomach, and you know you need to give it to God, but, you know, like Sue said, you give it to Him and it comes right back. And you give it to Him and it comes right back. You know, if you're dealing with something in your life, I want to pray for you this week as you are working towards releasing that to Him. And you'll be amazed at what God does as you give it over to Him. So take a moment to write that down. And say, I experience God's provision in my life when I remember God's provision in my past, when I repent of my self-sufficiency, and then when I begin to rely on God's help, and then finally the last way, experience God's provision is to remain completely committed to God. So you begin to rely and then you choose to remain there. You don't let it push you off of that. That's the final step, remain. Now, maybe right now you just kind of feel hesitant to commit to anything. You know, in fact, maybe right now you feel like everything that you've ever committed to in the past has just let you down. Whether it was a person or a job. Maybe, you know, you've made a commitment even to a church and you were burned in that situation and you just feel like everything has fallen through that you've committed to, and you're dealing with some fear even of the idea of making a commitment like that. You're scared that you're not going to have enough to make it. Not enough strength, not enough money, or not enough friends, not enough of anything. But I want you to remember this. Getting more of those things won't meet your needs. Because I said earlier, something in your life that you can run out of, that you're never going to feel like you have enough of it if you can run out of it. Getting more of that stuff isn't going to defeat the fear that you're dealing with right now. It's not going to stop your anxiety. You know, you think, well, if I just had a better job, or if I just had this person in my life, or if God would just do this or do this. No, that's not going to defeat your fear, your worry, and your anxiety. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Peter says, by His divine power, God has given us what? What has He given us? Everything we need. Would you underline those three words? God has given us everything. He says, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. How does He do that for us? Well, we have received all this by coming to know Him. Would you underline that phrase? Coming to know Him. He says, we received all this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His glorious, marvelous glory and excellence. In other words, when you know God and you choose to live for Him, you're going to have everything you need. Then he concludes, and because of His glory and excellence, He's given us this great and precious promises. Don't miss this. God says the way to have everything you need is by getting to know me. It's by getting to know God and His incredible love for you. It's getting to know and believe that God loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins so that you could be forgiven. So that you could experience God now, so you could have eternity in heaven. God says, once you know these things in the depths of your soul, how much you mean to Him, how much He's given you, the fear, it just starts to fade away. It's knowing that God has done everything possible for you to provide to prove that He is sufficient, that He is enough to meet every one of your needs. So if you're struggling with worry, if anxiety just got a grip on your emotions, maybe the answer isn't more of what you don't have. Maybe the answer is getting your eyes back onto Jesus. Maybe today you need to make that commitment to recommit to Jesus and remember who God is and that He truly is enough for you. You know, through the trials, Ruth remained committed to God, and God provided for her. The end of Ruth's story is that Ruth and Boaz got married. Naomi is taken care of, but that's not the end of the story. Through their family, through Ruth and Boaz, their great-grandson was David, who became the greatest king in Israel's history. And through their family line, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would be born. It's an incredible story, but you know what? I hear incredible stories all the time from people in our church, stories just like we heard today of God coming through in our lives. I hear stories of how God healed in miraculous ways, stories of unexpected provisions and finances and peoples and careers, stories of God saving and renewing a marriage, stories of broken relationships being mended, even of enemies becoming friends. And here's the thing. The reason I believe we have these stories in our church is because you were faithful, because you're trusting God. And so if you're going through a time of struggle right now, commit that to Him. And when you do, when you feel weak, He will give you His strength. When you feel incomplete, He will complete you. When you feel like you don't have enough, you will find those three words to be true, that God is enough. Let's pray. Oh, just as our eyes are closed and we're in this attitude of prayer, would you say in your heart and mind, God, you are enough? Would you just pray that to Him? God, you're enough for me. Maybe you just need to repeat that over and over. God, you're enough. God, you're enough. Just trying to get your heart to come to grips with that reality, releasing some of the things that are saying He's not. The situation's too big. Even in your loneliness, are you willing to say, God, you are enough? Even when you don't have enough resources in the bank for this month, would you still say, God, you are enough? Even if your emotions scream at you the exact opposite, are you willing to dig deep down into your soul and push those emotions aside and declare, God, you are enough for me. El Shaddai, God is in control. Would you just turn it over to Him, whatever it is, whatever is feeding the fear, the anxiety, the worry, the sleepless nights, would you just give it to Him? No matter what your need is, when you feel like you don't have enough, when you feel like you're not enough, God is enough. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You for the story of Ruth and that we can have courage when we understand that You truly are enough. God, I just want to declare by the power of the name of Jesus Christ a breakthrough in your life if you are dealing with fear and anxiety and worry. If it's got you grouped, I declare a power of the Jesus name, a breakthrough, a healing over all that is causing you anxiety, a releasing of that fear and worry so that when you give it to God, it doesn't come back again. Will you embrace God's healing today? Just accept it for yourself. Will you go to battle in your mind and your heart when Satan stirs this all up tomorrow morning again? And just declare, God is enough. God is enough. Declare it in your heart that God is enough. Let it be your mantra for this next week. You are enough, God. You are enough. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.